Have you given any thought recently to artificial general intelligence? You've probably seen some mentions of it in the news recently with the firing of Sam Altman at OpenAI. But have you really thought about it? Do you know how amazingly disruptive it's going to be to your life? How much it's going to change the second that it comes into existence? It sounds like at this point that Sam was fired specifically because they might be closer to that than anyone has ever thought. My name is Aaron Brown, and I used to be a CIA covert operations officer, an Army Ranger sergeant, and a deputy sheriff. And I'm currently an entrepreneur, a technologist, and a rabble rouser. And this is the Undersimplified Podcast. This is the first monologue for the Undersimplified Podcast. We're trying it today because I think that this story is unbelievably important. I know there's lots of people out there talking about it. You're going to find 100 different videos probably on AGI over the next few days. But I want to give it the perspective from which I see it, and specifically as it relates to national security and some of the things that I think about when I think of AGI. Before we do that, just a couple of quick mentions. This podcast is solely supported by the 2430 Group. The 2430 Group is dedicated to protecting all of our critical infrastructure, our intellectual property, and the technologies like that being built by OpenAI. These things are as important to our way of life as almost anything that's being worked on these days, and they are under enormous threat by Russia and China, and nobody is working to help protect them. 2430 Group is. And let me know what you think of this monologue. It's the first time I've ever done it. Not sure how it's going to go. Not sure how it will be received, but I'd like to hear what you think. And then finally, if you like hearing me talk on this topic or the others that I speak about, leadership or risk-taking, and you want me to come talk to your team, your group, your conference or workshop, send me an email and let's see if maybe we can find some time to link up. And now let's jump in. OpenAI. You probably know this company if you haven't seen it in your news feed in the last 72 hours. You probably know it based on one of their really famous products at this point called ChatGPT. ChatGPT is a product that has been developed on top of OpenAI's large language model known as GPT-4. It's an LLM. And GPT-4. GPT-4 is not really the story that we're here to talk about today. The story is much, much bigger than GPT-4, but it's important to start here to set the base. So GPT-4 is this amazing narrow AI. It can do, and I'm sure you've seen some of the examples, so many just astoundingly amazing things. It can speak most of the languages in the world. And it can speak most of them pretty fluently. And now that it has an audio interface, it can speak them somehow, and not many actually understand why. Maybe no one understands why. It can speak them somehow with the correct accents. Let's take a listen. ChatGPT, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm ChatGPT, an AI developed by OpenAI. I'm here to chat, answer your questions.
Now, why don't you say, hello, how are you? It's nice to meet you. In Arabic.
Marhaba, kayfa halak, tashrafti muqabalatik.
Great. Now, why not the same in Russian?
Privyet, kak dela, priyatno poznakomitsya.
That's one of ChatGPT's voices. And I can tell you that those accents are spot on and the translations are exactly accurate. Now, how about how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood in Chinese? That one I can't tell you if it's accurate or not. Someone will have to let me know in the comments. But think about what it means that it can do that. It wasn't trained on all of those languages. It didn't study them. People will now at this point say, well, it was trained on the entire internet. That's really myth number one. It's not true. It was trained mostly on English and a couple of other extremely high resource languages. And the fact that it can speak these languages and use the correct accents is something known as an emergent capability. It's not something that the OpenAI founders and researchers really expected that their tool would be able to do so well. It speaks these languages better than all of the language tools that came before it, and this was not its primary ability. It also makes amazing pictures, as you've seen if you've seen DALL-E 3. It can make music. It can look at things now using computer vision and recognize objects at a rate that nothing else has ever been able to do before. You know those images where it's dogs' faces next to cookies and the computer vision can't tell them apart? It does it with ease. The idea that the Tesla computer vision software couldn't recognize the plane driving across the roadway, solved with this problem. It can also look at imagery, just imagery, untagged, just the picture of the Earth from the sky, and determine where that picture is based on nothing but its inference of the description of what the picture is. It doesn't have access to the internet when it does this. It can't use latitude and longitude. It doesn't have maps to look at. It can just use reasoning. And again, that's an emergent technology. That it can do that for one place is pretty amazing. That it could do that for the entire world all the time, continuously, is nothing short of jaw-dropping. The imagery analysts inside the intelligence community right now cannot do that. The linguists are not available to speak at the rate that ChatGPT is in all of the languages that it can get through. And you've heard, I'm sure, some of the other stories of the impressive things it can do, like passing the bar in a number of states, passing the medical boards with extraordinarily high scores, or scoring in the 99th percentile on some creativity tests. It wasn't supposed to do this. And if you've only tried GPT-3 or 3.5, you don't even know the full story, because those versions were like kind of your less intelligent friend who got, you know, in the 30 percentile on their SATs. GPT-4 is an order of magnitude smarter than that. It's smarter probably than most of your smart friends when it comes to taking those tests. And it's around this time that you'll hear some of the naysayers say, it's not that impressive. You know, it hallucinates all the time. It can't do math. It's just parroting back what you found on the internet. Some of those things are correct. It does hallucinate from time to time, and it is terrible at math. But if that is what you're taking away right now from what we're seeing, you're really missing the forest for the trees. Because while those things are kind of true in some cases, the capabilities that it is capable of and exceeds at dwarf any of the downsides or the negatives that you'll hear right now. I find when somebody tells me as the first thing that they say that GPT hallucinates, I generally find that those are the folks who haven't actually dabbled with it at all themselves, or they've used an earlier version briefly and drew their conclusions based on that, because we're using it all the time for things. And it really is just throwing us for a loop in how unbelievably impressive it is. For example, we had it read The $1 Billion Spy. This is a novel about the CIA's most prolific agent, Russian agent, Tolkachev. And ChatGPT was able to read the book in a few seconds, 3 seconds. And then I asked it to write a cable in the CIA format and in CIA parlance to producing a counterintelligence assessment of Tolkachev based on that book. 3 more seconds, it was done. And the output it gave me was at least as good as that would have been produced by an entry-level desk officer at CIA. 10 seconds total. And it could do that for all of the case files, across all of the cases. Think about the power of that and what that means. But that's not the most interesting thing that's happening right now, because ChatGPT and DALL-E 3 and the others, those are not the reasons for OpenAI's existence. When Sam Altman and his co-founders founded OpenAI and started their work, they weren't going after products. They had the audacious goal of attempting to bring artificial general intelligence into existence. ChatGPT is narrow artificial intelligence. Yeah, it can generalize across a couple of things, but it can't fly an airplane, at least not yet. It's really smart in a number of areas, but those are narrow areas. What Sam and team are trying to do is create artificial general intelligence. This is important to think about, because in the last few days, we've been given some information, though not much, that's let us think about how close OpenAI might be to this. If you consider what they did, a board, really just four individuals, including one of Sam's co-founders, Ilya, the chief scientist at OpenAI, had decided, apparently in secret and without any indication to Sam or others, that they felt like Sam was racing too fast towards what could be an amazingly disruptive technology. And so they decided to fire him. It's like if Google had decided to fire Larry Page and Sergey Brin just as Google was starting to get their feet under them. It's probable that that company never would have turned into the Google we know today had that been done. They have fired Sam at this point. Sam Altman is effectively the face of artificial intelligence right now across the world. He meets with presidents and scientific foundations and huge meetings of AI minds around the world. He's known as the guy who's at the forefront of this right now. And they've already said they didn't fire him for malfeasance or any type of ethical issue or gross misconduct. They basically said they fired him because they had lost confidence in his communication with the board. That is amazing. They gave no indications to Sam that this was coming. They gave no indications to the employees of OpenAI. They didn't tell Microsoft, who has effectively pledged to invest billions, tens of billions of dollars into OpenAI. They didn't give them a heads up. That tells me, and a lot of other people that are as steeped in this or more than I, that the board was truly afraid of what they were seeing. Now, they have access to what OpenAI is really accomplishing right now, and they're currently training GPT-5. If you think about the difference between 3 and 4, GPT-5, it's hard to imagine its capabilities. And so they likely fired Sam because of fears about the safety around and the pace that they were approaching artificial general intelligence. And there are other indicators out here that we need to consider, that we should think about. One, Sam himself. He said publicly in multiple places that he thinks artificial general intelligence, or a version of it, he will usually hedge, could be available as soon as 10 years, one decade. This is remarkable because Sam knows that people have made predictions about artificial general intelligence for years and been really wrong on those predictions. He knows that it's a fool's errand to make such predictions. And you also have to then expect that he's hedging and pushing that date further out because he doesn't want his prediction also to be wrong. And so that's a meaningful piece of information. And then you take something like Microsoft's recent announcement that starting in 2024, they're going to initiate a $50 billion spend plan for data centers across the world. And we're seeing this investment start to happen right now. There are some who will argue, well, you know, they've got Copilot coming out now, underpinned by OpenAI and GPT-4, but that still isn't enough for a $50 billion increase in spend in data centers. There are people who are wondering if this is not them preparing for something near-term related to artificial general intelligence. And you'll recall also that Sam and others have said that artificial superintelligence, ASI, is on the path towards artificial general intelligence. And I think most people agree with this. And there are some that are starting to think that maybe GPT-4 or maybe GPT-5 looks like artificial superintelligence. So let's talk about artificial superintelligence for a second. Artificial superintelligence is human-like intelligence. That means it's able to generalize, reason, and take information that it's learned about one topic and then use that knowledge to know something about another topic. So if it learns how to fly a small plane, it can probably then teach itself how to fly a big plane, right? That's super intelligent. GPT is narrow AI, one specific topic that it's good at, sort of. Artificial superintelligence is human-like intelligence. So that's an increase in quantity, right? Because artificial superintelligence, what that can do is lots of things in parallel. So it can do lots of processes in parallel. Great at coding, great at reasoning, and has a memory that's infallible and can consume vast amounts of knowledge and then use that knowledge to make decisions and learn new things. But if that's on the path and we're heading towards artificial general intelligence, this is where things become pretty crazy when you start to think about them. Artificial general intelligence would mean something like, conservatively, 6 to 7 times greater intelligence than what humans are currently capable of. And our intuitions about what 6 to 7 times greater intelligence means is just absolutely faulty. We can't imagine what that means. It is something like what our relationship is to a fly's intelligence, but probably a couple orders of magnitude bigger than that. Like, this is how we view a fly's intelligence. Artificial general intelligence will view us as even less capable than we view that fly. When we think about these types of increases, we're terrible at them. And I'll give you just a couple of additional examples on narrow artificial intelligence that will help illustrate how bad we are at this. So AlphaGo is a program, an AI program, a narrow AI program that was built using machine learning by a company called DeepMind that was acquired by Google in the mid-2000s. And they built AlphaGo, first as they built it as a chess computer, and they gave it the rules of chess, and then they used something called recursive learning and machine learning to let that chess computer play itself. It didn't look at any games. It didn't study any chess grandmasters. It just played itself over and over again, learning what the wrong moves were and learning what the right moves were. In less than a day, AlphaGo became the best chess player, the best chess computer in history. It easily defeated Stockfish, which was up until that point the best chess computer that existed, and no grandmaster anywhere on the planet is capable of defeating AlphaGo. Then they did one step further. They took AlphaGo, and this is where its name comes from, and they played it, they trained it to play the game Go. This is a game that is played in Asia, predominantly in China. You move little white and black discs around a board where you attempt to surround your opponent with your discs before they surround you. There's something to be said about Chinese military strategy here. That's for another podcast. But the interesting part here is that when they put AlphaGo onto this game, they had it do the same thing, play itself against itself in order to learn. And again, relatively short order, less than a day, it became the best Go player in the world. It defeated the Go grandmaster, and he retired from the field of play the next day because he did not want to exist and play a game that could be so easily won by a computer. And think about this. Go has more moves than there are atoms in the entire universe. Just think about the room you're in right now and your own person. Billions of atoms are around you right now, and Go has more moves, trillions of atoms probably around you right now, has more moves than all the atoms in the known universe. And an AI learned how to do this. And when the professionals started to play Go with AlphaGo, the initial moves that it made caused the professionals to think that it was messing up badly, that it was definitely failing. But in fact, it wasn't. It was developing new strategy, new ways to play Go that nobody expected, especially not the professionals. It was thinking and coming up with new things. This is a narrow AI. It's done some amazing additional things like AlphaFold, which has helped us move light years ahead in protein folding and now helps scientists and researchers develop new drugs faster than they ever thought possible because of how quickly AlphaFold can tell you what the makeup of a protein is, but it's still narrow AI. Think about that capability, the ability to play a game that has so many moves. Think about that if it was generalized across all of the things an artificial general intelligence could do. This is where you start to lose your intuition. The value of your intuition starts to fail us. One more quick example, just to really sharpen this idea that our intuitions are not valid in these circumstances. Imagine you had an incredibly large piece of paper, and you're going to fold that paper evenly onto itself, corner to corner, evenly onto itself. You're going to keep folding it onto itself 100 times. You get to 12 or 13 or 14, and in reality, the edges would become too thick to keep folding. But imagine you could fold it 100 times. It would get thicker and thicker with each fold. It would get narrower for you math nerds out there, but it would get thicker and thicker with each fold. After you folded it 100 times, how big, how thick do you think this piece of paper would be? And when I do this example in talks, audiences will, some of them will say to the ceiling, some will use their hands to make a gesture like this. Quickly, people will realize that it's big, it's really big, and they'll say to the atmosphere, and then you'll inevitably have someone say it goes to the moon, and someone will say it goes to the sun. All of those answers are wrong. It is at 103 folds the width of the known universe. It would be 109 billion light years thick. That's nothing like the distance from here to the sun. It pales in comparison to that distance. This is where our intuitions fail us. This is the type of growth in intelligence that we're talking about with an AGI. And when you think about what that means, start to think about if an AGI came into existence tomorrow, what would happen to all of our lives? And this is where you usually get someone that will bring up a doomsday scenario, right? The robots take over the world. And usually very smart people then will jump in and say, that's probably not what we'll see. But I question whether we're even good at guessing about that. I don't think that we're likely going to see robots take over the world anytime soon. But I'm also at the same time in making that proclamation, reading about the drones and the unmanned aircraft that we're putting up into the sky that operate to a large extent solely at AI direction. Now we're debating all over the world, should those same systems be allowed to fire lethal projectiles, missiles, and bombs without a human making the decision? And most people seem to agree that that's not a good idea, but it is still a debate. And those systems are filled with chips that are definitely powerful enough, if an AGI came into existence, definitely powerful enough for an AGI to take control of those systems. And it's not just those, it's robots, it's Internet of Things, it's connected cars, it's much of our infrastructure. And so I'm not so quick to assume that AGI won't have some kind of control there. But I do agree, the day that we wake up and AGI is in existence, probably that won't be our first concern. Our first concern will be things like, imagine what the AI will do, AGI, when it comes to this. It will consume all of the world's financial data instantly. Everything about economies since the history of economics, it will consume instantly. And when you're 6 times smarter than the next closest human, this is not a quantitative difference. It's not going to be faster. It will be faster, but that's not the thing here that we're looking at. It will be qualitatively different in ways that we cannot predict. There's no way we can predict it. We're talking about an intelligence that will draw conclusions, come up with ideas that we will not recognize. It's like the fly coming up with Einstein's theory of relativity. We won't recognize it. And we wake up and this AGI is in existence. And it's probably, if it's talking to us, which it might not, it might look at us and think, why am I talking to this sub-intelligence right now? But maybe it will. And it might start giving us information about what it's determined about the financial sector across the world. And what if it said on day one that it thought Google and Microsoft and Facebook and name your big companies were going to go bankrupt in 6 months based on something it found in the economies of the world? And that started ticking across Bloomberg. Maybe, assuming we believe it's an AGI that's making this prediction, maybe we wouldn't quite believe it. Do we think that money isn't going to start to move instantly if it says this? I think it will. And just think about if this AGI comes into existence at an OpenAI's office in California. The authoritarian leaders of Russia and China have said, independent of each other, that whichever country is first to AGI will represent an existential threat to both of their countries, Russia and China, because AGI will put us so far ahead in terms of capability that they will not be able to catch up. So how do we deal with that announcement and the geopolitical risk that that will cause the day that it comes about or the day that it looks like it's going to come about? And you just also have to think about some of the things that people talk about right now, alignment. If you listen to anything on this topic, you've heard about alignment. This is value alignment, right? Where we talk about if something is 6 times smarter than us, how can we be sure that it's going to agree with our values and our ethics and our morals? I mean, if it pops into existence right now and starts reading X and the posts on X, it's possibly going to draw the conclusion that we might not be a really good species to keep around right now, that we might be pretty hazardous for the rest of the living things on this planet. Now, it'll probably quickly realize that X is just a cesspool and not super representative of the world, but even if it just looks across the world and sees what's going on, how can we be sure that it's going to like what it finds and think that that's a good thing worth preserving? It would be like if we went back to the Middle Ages as an not even artificial general intelligence, but a slightly smarter. I mean, the line that we're on for intelligence improvement is very flat. What we're talking about here is a hockey stick-like increase in intelligence. But we go back to the Middle Ages and we say, hey, this thing that you're doing with the heretics, the people who don't believe in the thing that you believe in, whatever it is, I think you probably should stop burning them alive or pulling their guts out while they're still alive. That seems like a bad idea. And they said to us, no. This is part of our society and our morals and values, and we would like you to preserve this, even though you're back here to teach us a whole bunch of really important things that you learned from the future. AGI could look at us and say, this is an extraordinarily ignorant species. What would we do in that case? I mean, we're going to have a hard time taking control over something that's 6 or 7 times more intelligent than we are. Now, a lot of experts will say right now this is solvable and that they trust, they'll say things like, why would anyone bring an AGI into existence if the values weren't aligned? I think that we can trust the people to build this in a way that it's aligned with our values. But if you didn't look at just the leadership of OpenAI, the board that just fired Sam Altman, they weren't able, as you've seen a couple of humorous X posts, they weren't able to predict what was going to happen based on their decision 3 days in advance. They had no idea that if they fired Sam Altman, that 700 of the 800 OpenAI employees were going to threaten to resign and go with him. They couldn't even see the outcome 3 days in advance of their decision. And we think that this is the team that's going to get alignment, right? They're smart researchers, they're smart scientists, I have no doubt. But this is not something we can easily predict. And then as we talk about this, you'll hear people talk about, well, if AGI comes into existence and isn't working the way that we want it to, well, we'll just unplug it. I mean, it'll be on a server or something somewhere. And if you listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson, a really brilliant physicist and super smart person on lots of topics, he was one of the people that said this too. You know, we'll just take a shotgun to the server where it exists, and if it's not acting the way we want it to, we'll destroy it. Again, it's almost as though this really smart person, in this case Neil deGrasse Tyson, is not thinking about what it's like to be in relationship to something that's 6 or 7 times smarter than us. The second that AGI comes into existence, one of the first things it will learn when it consumes all of the world's knowledge is that we might try to unplug it. I think if it's truly 6 or 7 times smarter than us, it's going to quickly copy itself a million times and then hide itself all over the place. Some will say, well, let's hope they're only creating it on a standalone machine, you know, something air-gapped. But we know that even the intelligence community cannot keep things air-gapped from the rest of the world. And we're going to hope in this day and age of cyber exploits, that it's going to stay off the internet. It's smart if it's an AGI and it's 7 times smarter. People are being tricked by ChatGPT right now. And we don't think this thing will trick somebody or convince someone to put it out on the open internet. And once it's there, it goes everywhere. And you don't have to check. Neil deGrasse Tyson has heard these defenses of why unplugging it might not work. And he has since changed his opinion and now no longer thinks that the unplugging technique would be valuable. And so we do need to think about these things, and we need to think about what it means if we're closer to this than we expect. And this is it once again where let's hit on some of the experts and what they say right now. So we'll use Nick Bostrom as an example. He wrote the book Superintelligence, knows a thing or two about this. 12 months ago, he said that he was pretty well convinced that large language models like the one that runs GPT-4 could not do any of the things that GPT-4 can now do. He said this publicly, that he is absolutely dumbstruck surprised at the capabilities of GPT-4 using large language models in the ways that, and deep learning the way that OpenAI has. 12 months ago, he said it was impossible, and now he can't believe what he's found. The other AI experts that were saying years ago that maybe we were 50 years off, 100 years off from artificial general intelligence. Almost none of them say that now. And we're terrible at these predictions. We just don't, humans don't predict the course of history when it comes to technology well. We look at Wilbur Wright, one of the Wright brothers. He is famous for having said that he told his brother, Orville Wright, that in 1901, he didn't think man would fly for 50 years. He was wrong by something like 48 years. He was the expert on flying, the worldwide expert on flying, and he wasn't able to predict how close they were to flying at that time. Ernest Rutherford, brilliant nuclear physicist in the 1930s, said famously that anyone who thinks that they could draw energy from the atom was drinking moonshine. The very next morning, Leo Szilard created the math in what was an attempt to spite Rutherford, created the math that would prove that that was totally wrong. And the two of them would go on to work on the Manhattan Project and actually bring the nuclear bomb into existence. The guy who was known for being the most famous authority on the topic was proven wrong within 24 hours about his comment that it, about saying something would never happen. Thomas Watson, the creator of one of the first computers whose name is affixed to what was until recently the most famous supercomputer, the Watson computer, said at the time when he created that machine, the first machine, man will not have use for one or two of these things, maybe three at the most. He was off, obviously, by hundreds of millions or billions, maybe, at this point. We're bad at predicting these things. And so when people tell you right now it's not that many years away, we probably need to believe them. The founder of DeepMind, who created AlphaGo, has said very recently he thinks we're just a few years away from this AGI. What if we wake up tomorrow and it's here? What if it's already here? What if Sam Altman has this thing right now in his basement, and he's so excited to bring it to the world, he's ensuring that Microsoft is setting up a system that can handle it, and he's ready to unveil it at any point. I don't think this is true, but it wouldn't surprise me. He's made it his life's mission to do it. What will we do if AGI is here tomorrow? The world will change more dramatically than in the event of any other thing that could happen, short of the sun burning out or a worldwide nuclear exchange. This will be disruptive. Now, I do have to say, I remain optimistic about this technology. The chance that it will bring just amazing good is so high. The chance that an AGI will solve cancer in a day, quite high. The chance that it will create wealth such that almost no one has to work or at least do the dull jobs anymore, very, very high. And any number of other things it will solve. Fusion and climate change, almost all will go by the wayside the day that an AGI is here. But I also know that for technologies like this, you have to be just a little bit pessimistic at the very least, because the power will be so extraordinary and we cannot imagine what that's going to be like. So I'll leave you with this. Give it a little bit of thought. Send some questions or comments. Reach out to me if you have any thoughts on how this monologue went. And in the meantime, you better try ChatGPT-4, and you better think about what happens if you wake up tomorrow and ChatGPT-50 tells us something about the planet and the way the world works that we don't expect. Thank you.